We're going to talk about faithful is He, and I know that when you look at that, the mindset is to think about how faithful God is, but we're going to do a different spin on that this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. And as we've sang many hymns today, great is thy faithfulness. Praise the Lord that we have a faithful God. Aren't you thankful this morning that you have a faithful God? I mean, imagine how discouraged we would be as believers living out the Christian life, worshiping and serving a God who was not faithful. But that's not the case, is it? We worship and serve a faithful God. But unfortunately, many Christians today know that God is faithful, but yet are not faithful themselves. We have seen a lack of faithfulness all throughout the Scriptures. The Israelites, time and time again, disobeyed God, and they fell into idolatry. We know that Simon Peter denied Christ in Christ's worst hour. And we've seen in Scriptures how much this really displeases the Lord. This lack of faithfulness by believers really displeases God. But this is not the case as we look at the prophet Daniel, who was God's faithful servant. You know, faithfulness is vital in any aspect of life. You think about academics. If you are going to be successful academically, faithfulness is required. There's going to need to be faithfulness to your studies and faithfulness to go to class and faithfulness to pay attention to the teacher. You know, in academics, faithfulness is required if you're going to be successful. The same thing with our vocation, with our job. If you are going to be successful in your job, you better be faithful to your job. You better be faithful in going to work every day, be on time, make sure you put a hard day's work in, maybe some work after hours. You need to be faithful in your job if you're going to be successful in your job. What about our marriages? Faithfulness is required if we are going to have successful marriages. What about our families? Faithfulness is required if we are going to have successful families, successful relationships with others. What about our relationships with our Lord? Faithfulness would be required to have a successful relationship with the Lord. You know, thinking about being faithful, that means to be loyal, reliable, dependable, constant, steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When you think about the word steadfast or unmovable, you know, when it comes to faithfulness, you know, it needs to be someone who's planted firm that cannot be moved. So when you think about faithfulness, someone should not be able to be pushed backwards or away from being faithful. But the same mindset there is we should always be going forward in being faithful to God, to being faithful to His Word, being faithful to our study, faithful in prayer, faithful to the house of God. Paul is giving some instruction in 1 Corinthians to the church of Corinth, stating the importance of being faithful in life but also in service, knowing that it will not return void. It is not in vain if we are faithful to our God, if we are faithful in service, if we are faithful in prayer, if we are faithful in the study of the Word of God. But the interesting thing here about faithfulness is if we stay faithful to God first, grab this as we start here. If we stay faithful to God first, it's amazing how everything else when it comes to faithfulness just kind of becomes natural. When we are faithful to God first, His Word and His house and in prayer and our devotional life and our study, when we're faithful to God first, it seems like everything else just kind of seems to fall in place. It's natural to be faithful when we are faithful to God first. In our finances, in our marriages, in our relationships, in our jobs, when we are faithful to God first, being faithful in those areas just seems to fall into place. It just becomes natural. And if we are faithful to God and His Word and His house and in prayer and in devotions, it's amazing what things will happen. We'll receive God's blessing. We'll receive God's wisdom. We'll receive God's encouragement. We will receive victory in our Christian lives. And hopefully, I pray that that is a truth that we grasp this morning. You know, we long for blessing. We long for victory in our Christian lives. We have a faithful God. But are we faithful back? So today we're going to look at a man who was a great example of faithfulness. Let's stop for a minute and pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the testimony of Daniel. And Lord, I pray that as we look at his life and his faithfulness to you, that it would challenge us in our lives to be faithful as well. I understand there's many faithful believers here, and I praise the Lord for them. But I think no matter where we are in our spiritual lives, in our Christian lives, we probably could be a little bit more faithful. Maybe there's a specific area, maybe a small area, but there's probably an area in every life here that needs to maybe be a little bit more faithful to you. So Lord, I pray that as we look at this man and we go through your word, I pray that you would challenge our hearts and our lives to maybe seek some areas, maybe your Holy Spirit's leading and guiding in our lives, seek some areas that maybe we could be more faithful tomorrow as we were today. So Lord, have your hand upon us as we continue to spend time in your word. Fill me with your spirit. Speak through me this morning, Lord. We love you and thank you. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. So first we see that Daniel was committed to a promise. Daniel was committed to a promise here in verse 1. It says, "And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because of an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion nor fault. For as much as he was," what? "Faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Daniel had a promise to keep, and he had promised to be faithful to God. Now flip back with me, stay on our text here, but go back to Daniel chapter 1. I want us to see something here. Verse 8. Daniel 1, verse 8. Daniel 1, verse 8. "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." You know, Daniel had already purposed in his heart. And if you want to solidify something and make something concrete in your life, you need to make sure that it's purposed in your heart. That it's solidified, that it's committed in your heart. If you want something, you want to succeed in something, you need to change from a mindset to a will mindset. And it comes with desire. When you think about trying to be successful or accomplish anything in your life, you better have a desire. You better desire to be successful. You better desire to continue that diet. You better desire to do your exercise if you want to lose weight. If you want to move up in your job or succeed in your job, there better be a desire, and desire starts in our heart. How often do you say, "Well, my desire was led by my mind"? Our desire is led in here. It's desire that occurs in our heart. And we see here, starting in 1:8, that Daniel had already purposed in his heart. He had already made that decision that he was going to have a desire to be faithful to the Lord. Now in chapter 1, King Nebuchadnezzar tried to change the names. He tried to change the names of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from Hebrew names to Babylonian names, because he was trying to ease them into Babylonian culture. But Daniel had already decided in his heart that he was not going to participate in anything that would hinder his faithfulness and his relationship to the Lord. Already made that decision in his heart. No way, I'm not going to do it. And thinking about Daniel in this text brings to light to me David. And how, if you read through the Psalms, how much David cries out or pours his heart out to God, stating that he wants God to remove anything in his life that's going to hinder his relationship with the Lord. I appreciate David and his transparency and all the different things that maybe we battle in our lives that maybe we don't necessarily admit to others, but yet, maybe, hopefully, we're more open to admit those things to the Lord, and that we want those things out of our lives. Anything that's going to hinder our faithfulness or hinder our relationship to the Lord, we want those things out of our lives. So I appreciate David's transparency in the Psalms. But here we see that Daniel was not going to allow anything to happen in his life that was going to hinder his relationship with the Lord, that was going to hinder his faithfulness, the promise that he had made to God. You know, whether it was eating a forbidden food that might have been sacrificed to idols, or maybe it was the conviction that he had about drinking wine, he had already made a choice that he was going to stay faithful to the Lord. You know, we sing a lot of different hymns about God's faithfulness to us. We also sing hymns about our faithfulness to him. You know, I've decided to follow Jesus. What? No turning back. No turning back. It kind of brings us back to First Corinthians 15:58. You know, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's no turning back. When you trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there's no turning back. We need to be faithful to the Lord as he is faithful to us. And when you think about making that choice, or maybe you have that conviction, you have that specific conviction, or you're choosing to be faithful to the Lord in some particular way, you need to embrace something here that we learned from Daniel, that you need to make the choice prior to the difficulty. You need to make that choice prior to the trial, because if we don't, we could find ourselves finding a difficult time getting victory over that particular difficulty, that particular trial in our lives. We need to make that choice prior. Be prepared prior. And that's the one thing that we see from Daniel's testimony here. So Daniel had solidified his conviction with King Nebuchadnezzar, and this decision had not changed with King Darius. You know, upon the conquest of the Babylonian Empire, Darius established a new modeled government under this Medo-Persian Empire, and he had made Daniel the prime minister of the state. He was above everybody. Because the one thing Darius did is he was quick-sighted to see the men's capabilities, and right away he was able to see quickly that there was something extraordinary about Daniel. So as one of the king's top administrators, now in his 80s, he was among non-believers. He was among those that worshipped pagan gods. And yet he worked so efficiently that it was causing a problem. It was causing jealousy among those that watched his life. It's kind of amazing how that works in our lives, isn't it? When we work in, many of you work in the secular workplace. And again, going back to, you know, being faithful. And if we put God first, if we say, God, I'm going to be faithful to you first, and we start implementing those things in our lives in being faithful to God, how that almost seems to just translate into being faithful on the workplace. And more times than not, because we have God's blessing and we are driven or we have a desire to succeed, God blesses that and helps us to be efficient in our job. And how often have you seen others, maybe non-believers, jealous about, you know, what you're doing at your workforce and workplace? You know, we see this with Daniel, that he had God's blessing, but then also he worked more efficiently than the others, and it caused jealousy. It caused envy in their hearts. Even though, now remember, his life and his testimony gained respect of his king, even his pagan king. His life and his testimony spoke volumes about his God, even to this pagan king, but yet it sparked envy and jealousy among those adversaries. But it's interesting, they could find no fault in him. They couldn't find fault in his character. They couldn't find any dishonesty, any doing things kind of under the table, or, you know, maybe doing something that's not quite so honest. They couldn't even find a mistake in his job. So where did they go? They went after his faithfulness to his God. You know, we can really see the importance of our testimony when it comes to the lost. You know, if we commit or purpose in our heart that we are going to stay faithful to the Lord and keep our promises, we will earn the lost's respect. Now again, they may not necessarily jump on board and right away say, okay, I want to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior, but if they see that we are committed to staying faithful to the Lord, we'll earn their respect. And then you might be here today and say, well, Pastor Rich, I don't remember making any real promise to the Lord. I don't remember making a promise. Well, you made a promise to the Lord when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because when you think about a key aspect of trusting Christ as Savior, yes, it's asking for forgiveness. It's being sorry for our sin and realizing that sin separates us from a holy and righteous and perfect God. And so we should be sorry for our sin and we should ask forgiveness of our sin, but there's also repentance. And repentance is that 180-degree change. It's that 180-degree change that you are no longer going to allow this world to dictate your life. Sin and the enemy to lead and guide your life, that you are now changing. You are doing a 180-degree change to God being the Lord of your life. You are making that 100-degree change that now you are going to follow Jesus Christ. No turning back. No turning back. And in doing so, you're making a promise to God that you are going to follow Him. So anyone here or everyone here that's trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have made a promise to God that you are going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So then, realizing that truth, we need to embrace that in our lives and realize that we need to, in that promise that we've made to God, we need to do our part in fulfilling that promise, and that's staying faithful to Him, even among the lost. And that if we keep our promise to God and we stay faithful to Him, He kept His promise to us, didn't He? He sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross for our sins. He's raised from the dead 3 days later. He kept His promise to us. So now we as Christians need to keep our promise to Him, especially in front of the lost. And what, I, listen, I've seen it. I've been in the secular workforce. Some of you guys, well, you're a pastor. Well, guess what? I haven't always been in ministry. I've spent many years in banking. I've been in the secular workforce. And I can tell you, they watch your testimony like they were watching Daniel's, and it speaks volumes. And if you're faithful and you keep your promise, you will earn their respect. You will earn their respect. And when you really talk about those that are lost, what's the one thing that they say? If you went to someone who didn't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and you said, what's the one thing that you look for in a Christian? What do you want to see? And what's their answer going to be 99 times out of 100? Genuine Christianity. They want to see that you're real. Not someone that talks the talk and doesn't walk the walk. They want to see that you're real. They want to see someone who keeps a promise to their God. They want to see someone who is faithful to be a follower of Jesus Christ. They want to see something real. something genuine. And that's what we can see in Daniel. And that's the one thing they saw, was someone that was real, someone that was genuine, someone that kept his promise and had promised to be faithful to his God no matter what. They couldn't even attack him at his job. There was nothing they could do. They found no fault, no error in his character, in his testimony, in his life, or even how he performed his job. So they had to go after his relationship with the Lord. You know, Daniel had made his decision prior to the adversity. We have to grasp that this morning. If you're going to choose to keep your promise to God and be faithful to Him, we need to make sure that we make that decision, make it here to here, but do it prior to the adversity, because if the adversity comes, it may be too late for us to stand firm in what we should. And he made that decision prior. He made that promise and that commitment prior so that he could stand firm when adversity presented itself. Second, we see that Daniel was committed to a purpose. Daniel was committed to a purpose. Verses 5 through 8. It says, "Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said, 'Thus unto him, King Darius, live forever.'" So right away they started pumping him up. Started pumping him up, pumping up his ego. Verse 7, And the presidents of the kingdoms, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee or except for you," again, pumping up his ego, "O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions." Boy, they thought they had a great plan, didn't they? They thought they had it worked out. Let's go to it. Let's attack his pride. Verse 8, "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Now he made sure there that got that ended there, they couldn't be changed, because they knew that the king respected Daniel. And they knew that could be an issue coming up going forward. But Daniel was purposed to live for the Lord, but then also surrendered to his purpose that God placed on his life. You know, he was a prophet, he was a servant, but he was also a testimony for the Lord. Now imagine this. Imagine being so faithful to the Lord, being so committed to the promise that you made to the Lord, having purposed in your heart to such an extreme extent that the only way your adversaries could attack you was your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. What a powerful testimony for the Lord. That you're so committed, so faithful, so purposed to be faithful to God that the only way your enemies could attack you was your faithfulness to your God. And so that's what they think they've got going on here with Daniel. And I pray that when my life is over, that I could almost be a glimmer of the faithfulness that we would find in Daniel. And that I would be so committed, so purposed to a promise that I made to live for the Lord and to serve Him, that the only way someone could attack me is my faithfulness to the Lord. You know, to purpose means to set firm, to plant. In the Hebrew, it means to set firm, to plant. With the mindset of this, probably the one thing that we've all had to do here very recently, if you want to have a decent yard, is what? Pull the weeds. Isn't that fun? Don't you love it when it's pull the weed day? Yay, I get to go out and pull weeds. How hard is it to get that root out? Boy, if you don't get that root and you rip it and it's kind of the bottom of the stem still there, you kind of have to go and you got to really get that root out. How hard is that? Because that weed is planted. It's set firm in the ground. Well, that's the idea of to being purposed in our heart, that we are set firm, that we were planted. You know, Daniel had set firm in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. Have we set firm in our heart that we are not going to defile ourselves or allow the enemy to pull us away from the Lord or fall into some particular sin? Have we set firm that decision? Have we purposed it in our heart? Because Daniel had set firm. He had purposed that in his heart. But then he also set firm that he would serve the Lord however the Lord saw fit. Because he knew that the adversity would come. Listen, we can be in denial all we want. We can come into church and praise the Lord and fellowship and be encouraged by one another and be encouraged in prayer and in song and in the preaching of the Word of God. But ultimately the truth is this, adversity is going to come. It's going to come. You know, something we've probably seen recently, you know, storms come. We've got some beautiful weather, but guess what? The storm's coming. So we have to embrace the truth that adversity is going to come. Now, are we preparing our heart or purposing our heart or setting firm our heart for when that adversity comes, staying faithful to God? 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Because what? Because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who may devour. It's coming. Satan's going to continue to try to attack you, especially if you choose or purpose in your heart that you're going to stay faithful to the Lord. The target gets bigger. The target gets bigger when you say, I'm going to purpose my heart to be faithful to God. I promised him that I was going to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do it every day of my life. And every time you say that, your target gets bigger. Because Satan's going to try to do whatever he can to take us down, to pull us away from the Lord, to hurt our testimony. You know, in Babylon, with King Nebuchadnezzar, the king's word was the law. But being that it was the king's law, he could also change the law. Well, under this Medo-Persian Empire that was established by King Darius, the king could not change the law. So Darius, while he was a very effective administrator of government, had the same flaw that plagues many great men, and that's pride. And so these men went right after that, and he pumped up his ego, knowing that that would just lead him to pride. And so, I said great men, pride affects women as well. So ladies, you don't get a pass, because Satan attacks all of us with pride. That's probably one of his greatest weapons, because pride often is so hidden. And so he went right after his pride. They went right after his pride, and King Darius was no different. And so this oversight caused him to allow them to make this decree for him to be worshipped as a god for 30 days. And the law could not be changed even for an important official like Daniel. But the interesting thing about Daniel's faithfulness is it was prepared for this kind of adversity. Is our faithfulness prepared for whatever adversity comes our way? Because Daniel's faithfulness was prepared for this kind of adversity. Third, we see that Daniel was committed to praise. He was committed to praise. Verses 8 through 10. It says, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he whined about it. He complained, he fretted, he worried. No, that's not what he did. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed. But not only did he pray, he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. You know, Daniel would continue to praise the Lord. Even in the sight of overwhelming adversity, Daniel would pray and praise the Lord. It's easy to praise the Lord when things are going great. It's easy to praise His name when it's sunny outside. But do we praise the Lord in the storm? Do we praise the Lord in the storm? Because that's what Daniel did. He praised the Lord when there wasn't trials, and he praised the Lord when there was. Do we praise the Lord in the storm? Because Daniel was quite aware as the prime minister of the state that under the constitution of this Persian kingdom, and the law could not be altered. The law could not be breached. The law could not be dispensed with or pardoned. He knew what would happen if he prayed to God, if he praised his Lord. But you know, it's interesting thing about David. He didn't hide, did he? You know, he went to the open window. He didn't go into his closet. He didn't run off to the countryside. No, he went to an open window and praised the Lord. He wasn't going to hide. You know what? Believers, I'm going to tell you this. The way things are going, we better get ourselves to the place where we're like Daniel. We're not hiding. Because Christians have been hiding for way too long. And too many things are being passed in this country. The Bible and prayer getting taken out of our schools and abortion federally funded. The time's going to come and we got to stop hiding. We cannot hide. He didn't hide. He said, you know what? I'm going to pray in an open window before my God. I'm going to give him thanks. I'm going to give him praise. He looked at this as an opportunity to honor God. He didn't hide. He looked at it as an opportunity to praise and honor his God. You know, Daniel knew that it was against the law to pray to anyone except the king. But he was faithful. And we see there, he didn't just pray one time, but three. Three times a day. What do we see about Daniel? We see that Daniel had a disciplined prayer life. And he was going to continue to have that disciplined practice in prayer no matter what. How disciplined are we in our prayer lives? You know, we forget about the sign-up sheet out there and making sure that I jot a time span in my Saturday where I'm going to have some organized prayer. Are we doing it daily? How many times a day? Because we're looking at a man as great as Daniel here that still felt led to go to his Lord in prayer multiple times. How are we in our Christian lives? Do we feel led to go to the Lord, pray without ceasing throughout our day? Do we sign up or schedule a time in our day where we go to the Lord in prayer? But not only did we see that he prayed, but he gave thanks. Not, Lord, what am I going to do? Or, Lord, how could you allow this to happen to me? No, he looked at this as an opportunity to honor his God, to praise his name, and an opportunity to express his faithfulness to his God. And he was going to trust the Lord for whatever the outcome. He was going to trust the Lord for whatever the outcome. Now, we're going to go through a little bit more of this chapter here as I finish up, but many of us know the outcome from this. Very popular story of the Bible. The men find him praying. They take him to King Darius, and King Darius reluctantly keeps the law. Look at verse 16 here with me as I finish up. Verse 16. It says, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. So we can really see the magnitude that Daniel's life and his testimony had on this pagan king. Verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So nothing else can happen. There was no way of escape. Verse 18, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He couldn't sleep. He was so concerned about Daniel. I'm sure he's probably sitting there thinking, man, what did I do? What did I allow those men to get me to sign? Verse 19, then the king arose when? Very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. Man, he got there quick. He's probably running. Verse 20, and when he came to the den, he cried with lamentative voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent an angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. And the king commanded that they brought those men which had accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, ever they came at the bottom of the den. But look how Daniel's faithfulness glorifies God. Verse 25, and King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast. This is King Darius. This is King Darius. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. And he dwelleth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And so this Daniel prospered in reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel's testimony and faithfulness spoke to a king and spoke to a kingdom. His life, his faithfulness, his purpose glorified the Lord. And so I ask you this, who does your testimony speak to? What have we purposed in our heart? Is it more important to have acceptance from this world? Or is it more important to us to keep our promise and stay faithfulness to God? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the life, the testimony, and the faithfulness of Daniel. You know, we sing, great is thy faithfulness. And I believe everyone in here who knows Christ as Savior believes that. That you are faithful. That you keep your promises. That you will never leave us or forsake us. That your presence is evident in our lives each and every day. Lord, I pray that we would realize the importance of our faithfulness to you. You know, we made a promise. If we trusted you.